This programming is sponsored by Linscombe Wealth, a wealth management firm partnering with individuals and families dedicated to helping them build, preserve, and manage wealth by creating a customized plan to work toward achieving their goals. More at linscombewealth.com.
This programming is sponsored by the Near Northwest Management District. With new commercial construction, more than 350 acres of green space, parks, and sports complex. More information at nnmd.org. Grow near.
Welcome to our Texas edition of Party Politics, a podcast to prep you for all things political in this wonderful state we call home. I'm Jay Iyer, a political science professor from Texas Southern University.
And I'm Brandon Rottinghouse, a political science professor from the University of Houston. Every week, Jay and I get together at our favorite place and talk about Texas politics, the one thing that's always exciting. So hang out with us for a while, and hopefully you'll learn something, and you can take this to your next party and look like a current events genius. Well, Jay, we've had a monumental end to the 85th legislature. So the first thing we should get into are some of the specifics about the budget, which is really the only thing the legislature has to do. Fortunately, they did it.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly a struggle to get to where they did. I mean, you would think that the one bill you really need to pass, you'd want to do it on the front end.
The first day.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, yeah, how hard could this be, right?
Right.
Well, apparently very. So you had massive divisions between the House and the Senate. The one thing that sort of stood out to me just right off the top was we had heard so much during previous sessions about the problems in the border region, right? In terms of just we had just thousands of people coming across the border. Well, we know that border crossings are down about 46%. We know that the federal government in its budget has put in billions more for border security. With all that happening, the Texas legislature in their infinite wisdom decided to allocate $800 million additionally for border security.
If the Trump administration is going to take up some of the slack here, that's a lot of money for that. But it, in a way, doesn't surprise me because this has been Dan Patrick's baby since he ran for office as lieutenant governor. So in a way, this is about politics as much as it is about security.
What about you? What sort of struck you just immediately?
A couple of things. We should talk about education funding because it was a bit of a mixed bag. So think about it in terms of like a shot and a chaser. The shot is that universities are funded not as bad as they were, which we should talk about. The funding of public schools basically just covered the growth for students. And there was only modest money for Greg Abbott's pre-K investments, which he wanted to do, but which instead of having a separate fund were actually diverted from existing school funds.
Yeah, the K-12 system is sort of this odd mix of local property taxes combined with state funding sources, primarily gas tax revenue that we get at the pump, about three quarters of which goes to roads, but one quarter of which is dedicated constitutionally for public ed. The advantage here from the state's perspective is that every dollar that goes up locally is a dollar less. So what started off as a system just a few years ago that was about 50-50 is now almost 40-60 the other way. So about 62% of all funding is now local for K-12 and only 38% is state. There's been essentially no growth adjusted for inflation since about 2005 in terms of the overall budget for public education.
Budgets are about priorities. And so one of the priorities that they said should be on the table early on was funding for CPS and for mental health services. And that they did fund. So about $500 million more for CPS and about $200 million more for mental health services. So it's not all about cutting, even though it was a lean budget this year. There are some investments and some things that the state, in theory, cares about.
Yeah, and that was actually probably one of the rare bright spots in terms of bipartisan cooperation. Most of the bills, there were about four or five separate bills that dealt with CPS and public welfare for children. They were all bipartisan initiatives. There was a long sort of drawn out process. You didn't see some of the crazy amendments tacked on that you saw some other bills. They took it very seriously. It was a public process with lots of hearings. It's kind of the way the legislature is supposed to work.
Yeah.
It worked on this. Unfortunately, it didn't work on others.
Not everything, though. But one more thing we should talk about, and that is that the funding of the spillover from the budget. So the comptroller's estimate had the money essentially lower than the state wanted to spend in terms of total budgets, given growth and things like that. So the House had the idea of using the rainy day fund to tap this. The Senate had the idea of an accounting trick, which is essentially push off a specific pot of money that was intended for highway projects. In the end, they compromised on this. So another, I think, bright spot, maybe the only other bright spot, where we saw the two parties and two chambers coming together to be able to have some kind of resolution on this big question.
I'm not sure how much of a bright spot that really is, and that they were really willing to sort of split the difference on this, because there was a pretty deep philosophical difference, right? I mean, the House's version was really classically conservative with a small c sort of approach, where you essentially just take from your savings account, which is our rainy day fund. The Senate was using an accounting trick. And I think everybody who looks at it objectively would say that, right? They're taking money from a subsequent year and applying it effectively. So the idea that we're compromising on that, I'm not sure is a real win. But what happened with higher education? Because I know there was a lot of conversation about this, Brandon, about the idea of higher education was going to just really get killed this session. What happened there?
This was definitely a missed bullet for most universities, although there are some who are going to be hit worse than others. The fear was that it would be a colossal damage, and it ended up not being quite as bad as expected. But this is another sort of continuing question for the state. How much money should be invested in education, not only from the public education side of things, but also from the higher education side of things? So this is going to be an ongoing fight. And at least for the moment, for the biennium, you've got this fairly well set.
And take it from us as a couple of university professors, the most important thing you can do is invest in your higher education.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, the governor's favorite project is the Texas Enterprise Fund. And I know early on in the session, there were the initial Senate version of the budget had it completely zeroed out. What happened there?
I think the governor asserted himself in a way that we hadn't seen him do last session. He suggested that if the ledge didn't put that back in, that he would veto the budget. And so he got what he wanted on this, and he also got what he wanted on pre-K. These are items that, for him at least, weren't like an emergency item, but that were definitely on his agenda. So at the end of the session, I think that he can claim that he effectively won.
All right, well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, let's talk about some specific bills and maybe some things that just didn't happen that we thought might happen this session.
So, Jay, we handled the budget in a record time. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the specific legislation that we saw that was consequential, but also some things we saw that didn't happen that we thought might happen.
I think we talked about it earlier as it relates to sort of child welfare reform. You had HBs 4, 5, and 7. These were three separate bills that dealt with funding for the agency, dealt with sort of oversight elements for the agency, and just how you would deal with the processes of disciplining individuals. All of those went through. They were bipartisan measures. That, to me, I think was one of the shining things to hold up this session in terms of progress as a state.
It was critical, and it was an emotional issue, and the testimony, I think, had a fairly significant sway on legislators making sure that this was something they fixed. What's another thing that you thought was notable this session?
In terms of a specific bill, HB 100, which is a ride-sharing bill that the governor signed. It's a bill that allowed, I think, effectively kind of ride-sharing services, companies like Uber and Lyft, to now operate everywhere in the state of Texas, but it has much greater significance than that, because what it does is fundamentally alter something that had been a local controlled policy for really the last 50 to 60 years in Texas and nationally. And that is, how do we regulate and maintain and organize these taxi services or car services? It's another example of kind of this pronounced shift of taking a local issue and making it controlled at the state level, and has real ramifications, I think, going forward.
I'm going to follow up on your lead and give you my top two, and those are two that are both connected to local issues. Number one is texting while driving. Both the House and Senate passed this, which has been a continuous issue in the legislature. We don't know yet whether the governor will sign it or not, but it is thematic in that it would essentially wipe out any local regulations about texting while driving and would replace it with a statewide mandate. So that, I think, is of interest. My second issue was SB 4, Sanctuary Cities Plus. And the plus is really the kicker here, and that is the kind of show me your paper side of the debate that we've talked about in prior podcasts, where essentially a person in law enforcement can ask people about their specific legal status during any kind of interaction. And this has drawn ire from the Democrats, especially from those in the Mexican-American caucus, and led to what was essentially a rough and ready honky-tonk on the floor of the Texas legislature, where we turned the Texas into a literal country song in the last remaining minutes of the session, and a near fistfight ensued between some of the Democratic members, including Pancho Navarez and Matt Rinaldi, and highlighting a complete lack of decorum, but also highlighting how emotional this issue is.
Yeah, the pseudo fight. It's like every bad middle school fight. A bunch of kids kind of roaming around, nobody really throwing any punches, just a lot of
the
yelling.
Circle forms,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And the irony of it was is it started off with two people, and of course everyone comes to it, right?
Right. So what are some things that happened that you thought should have happened or that we expected to have happen that didn't happen?
Well, let's talk a little bit about things that I thought might happen that never really went anywhere. One of the sort of the bigger issues, sort of not just locally or in Texas, but nationally, has been how we deal with individuals who have been arrested or convicted for simple possession of drugs, particularly small amounts of marijuana. Harris County and Texas as a whole has, I think, kind of led an effort. Individual jurisdictions have led an effort to try to reduce that. Here in Harris County, the new district attorney, Kim Ogg, has sort of had this new effort to try to divert folks over and prevent long-term criminality associated with it. She made her announcement while the session was in play. And generally that gets some sort of rebuke from folks that want to, I think, a more tough on crime attitude. But surprisingly, there was never any opposition. It sort of reinforces the idea that we might have a new national consensus on how best to deal with sort of simple drugs.
It's a good point. And medical marijuana also didn't go anywhere. There were measures that would have allowed for qualifying patients to be able to use some medical marijuana, and that didn't pass. I'm going to pick a couple that I think may push us into a special session. The first is school finance. Now, Dan Patrick put this on the agenda and suggested that there should be some kind of school choice. The House passed a measure that would have refunded or changed the funding strategy for public schools. The Senate tacked on a measure that would have required some school choice, and so that went down. And that was an issue that I thought, frankly, would get some kind of movement, but the procedural issues didn't allow it to happen. A second one is redistricting, where we didn't even have a meeting of the Committee of Redistricting,
right.
And considering the fact that this is
But we
a
did
major
get thank
legal...
you notes.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
They did
that's
send
right.
thank you notes to the members.
That's good, yeah. It's always nice to be thanked for something, especially when you didn't really do anything. But this is an issue, I think, that's legal, but also clearly political, because the courts are going to have to make choices about how this shakes out. My final thing that didn't happen that should have suspected early on would have happened are about tacos and cannabis. So we had a resolution to provide for tacos to be the official state food and to have the cannon as the official gun of the state, both of which didn't go anywhere. What kind of things
happened here? Just when you think you know our state, you know, you get something like that. All right, well, let's take a quick break when we come back, and let's focus on maybe the single issue that sort of defines this session to you.
How do we think about the 85th session? What were your specific highlights?
So for me, thematically, I kind of felt that absent sort of a compulsion to deal with sort of the big financial issues in Texas, by that I mean sort of the state telling them they have to redo school funding, you've got major issues with taxation, the state legislature now defaults to this idea of dealing with almost non-issues. We saw that with the bathroom bill, we saw that with the sanctuary city bill. It distracts, frankly, and I think it's created a session where the fissures in Texas politics are more pronounced now than they've ever been.
I want to talk about the leadership, because I think that's a critical factor here. Dan Patrick is really the one who is the institutional motivator. If he can win on process, then he can win on substance. And so he really, I think, pushed and changed the pH balance of the legislature to be a more right-leaning legislature. That's something that will potentially have electoral ramifications. So the Republicans can claim credit for having gone fast in the fast lane. The concern was that they were going too slow in the fast lane. Dan Patrick said, I'm coming, and so you need to move out of the way, which they did in large part. So the Republican base will definitely be of interest and be excited, but they won't be as excited because they didn't necessarily lose. They got most of what they wanted. The Democrats, as a counter effect, may be very rallied up because of this. A lot of this legislation is going to have legal implications, but also political backlash. And that's going to be, I think, a major factor going forward to 18, not necessarily to give them any kind of specific bump, but that will, in general, get better recruits, will encourage more money, and will also potentially spike voter turnout.
There's a spark that's been lit here in this session that I think we're going to see that fire in that 2018 midterm.
Yeah, and we talked about the kind of pink shoe award, right?
Exactly.
Is this a pink shoe moment, right? The famous Wendy Davis filibuster where she wore her, you know, pink tennis shoes. Is there a pink shoe moment? I think that's what we found here, right? That is really the sanctuary cities debate. And although the fight or near fight was not something that is becoming of legislators, it would definitely suggested a heightened sense of emotion. And that is what really drives people to vote.
Well, we'll be back next week with more party politics. If you like this political chatter, make sure you check out our national politics episodes too. They're available every Friday afternoon, just like these episodes. This show wouldn't be possible without the help of Houston Public Media, our producers Daisha Clay, Laura Lucas, Edel Howland, and our engineer extraordinaire Todd Holtzlander.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or from wherever you get your podcasts, and please leave us a review. It helps other people find the show. Follow us on Twitter with the hashtag PartyPoliticsPod, and you can email us at PartyPoliticsPod@HoustonPublicMedia.org.
I'm Jay Iyer.
And I'm Brandon Roddinghouse. We'll see you next week.
This programming is sponsored by the Near Northwest Management District, located just off 290 and the 610 Loop, with a mixture of modern and mid-century homes providing families room to grow. More information at nnmd.org.